Welcome to Music for the Quarantine Soul. This is Christmas Extravaganza Part 2. And tonight we have the all-male version. Just so happened to work out like that. I got a bunch of guys on the line here. Clifton's there. Hi, Clifton.
Hello, hello.
How's it going?
Good, good.
Good. We are winding down the Christmas holidays here as we record. So we are looking ahead to going back to work. But anyways, we got one more day to listen to music. So tonight, we've got a bunch of guys online here and we are doing the Christmas extravaganza. So we got Carter, we got Peter and Matt and Bernie and Mike, Bill. Hey guys.
Hey, good evening.
Hello, hello.
Thanks for inviting us.
Hi, Cam.
We're going to start with our friend Bernie out in Calgary, and he is gifted to Mike Penner, Public Enemy. And it's a Public Enemy album, but I my notes here, I don't have it up what album it is, Bernie. So give us some background here.
This one came out this year. It was Public Enemy's best release in almost 30 years. They have released albums here and there, but this one had a lot of guest cameo appearances. I know Mike, one of his five albums was the Beastie Boys. So it had guest appearances by two of the Beastie Boys, Cypress Hill, Ice-T, George Clinton, a whole bunch of other hip hop stars. Very solid album from 1 to 16. There were so many epic remixes and remakes and guest appearances that I was like, wow, other people need to know about this album. So when I saw Mike had Beastie Boys as one of his choices, he also had a few other different choices that were really good, but I thought, you know what, he should take a listen to this album.
Okay. So Mike, what did you think?
Yeah, it was a good choice. I haven't listened to Public Enemy since maybe the 90s, but they were like, you know, the ever-present rap group. Everyone kind of heard of them and knew about them. Not a lot of people, I don't think, listened to them on the regular when I was in high school, but I had, I think it was like a greatest hits album or something. And I listened to that and I enjoyed that. When I first put this on, I was a little leery. I was like, oh, okay, Public Enemy. Because since I'd listened to it, Flavor Flav had kind of, you know, he's been on all those TV shows and had kind of, I don't know, turned into like almost like a parody of himself kind of thing. So when I was like, oh, interesting, okay. And then I saw the cover and it said, what are you going to do when the grid goes down? And I was like, huh. And then I listened to the first song.
Social engineer anarchy orders chaos. Cold main scenic all around. Without the sound. Uncle Jam's army. We are here.
And, the first thing I think is just like it's not the actual song. The actual song's Grid. It has Cypress Hill in it, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's all about people's addiction to social media, people's addiction to their phones and stuff, and how that's how negative that is. And you know, almost like a wishful, they talk about how they kind of wish it was like back in the 80s when people were just on the street and would talk to each other and stuff. And I was like, well, son, I'm here. Cause that's something that I do not care for social media really a whole lot. I see it on TV the other day, there was a baseball game and it showed there's like eight people in the stands and all eight of them were on their phones posing, taking selfies and stuff during the baseball game. And then like the team they're supposedly cheering for got a late inning run and it flashed right to them and they had no idea. They were on their phones, on their social media. And so when I listened to that song, and I was a huge Cypress Hill fan. So when it had Public Enemy and Cypress Hill, I was on board. It sounds like old Public Enemy. Sometimes when bands re-release something, I don't know. What's an example? Like Bon Jovi? If you look like early Bon Jovi from the early 80s, not a lot. Like it just seemed that he changed. As he got older, he changed. Steve Earle changed quite a bit too. But this seems like old Public Enemy. And then when I saw that the Beastie Boys, well, the surviving members were on there too with Run DMC, How is this? I was like, holy mackerels. Because I listened to, I had Run DMC, Down with the King. I had all everything Beastie Boys ever did. I have that. So this was a treat kind of. I was, at first I was a little hesitant. I was like, I don't know about this, but it ended up, I really enjoyed coming back down with some Cypress Hill. I don't know when the last time Cypress Hill released anything new. Do you, Bernie?
They release like things on Apple Music every year or two, but it's nothing noteworthy. It's just
nothing released. That makes its way to me. Yeah, like the thing with me and music is I kind of let stuff come to me. I don't necessarily go looking for stuff too hard. I let stuff come to me, and stuff usually seems to find me. Like, you know, AC/DC had a new album that found me, and stuff will find me. But yeah, I haven't heard anything new from Cypress Hill or Public Enemy for a while.
There's a good Cypress Hill track came out a couple years ago. It's from their Elephants on Acid album, Band of Gypsies. And it has a whole bunch of, I don't know, it's like Arabic rapping at the start. And hashish, and they say the word hashish like 10 times in a row. It's sort of freaky.
Yeah, that album's from 2018. The
Beastie Boys so on the. Releasing. What'd you think of the Beastie Boys track on the Public Enemy album?
Well, that, like, there was another song called Public Enemy Number One, but like the number one, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's the one.
And then, but this one's Public Enemy One with like WON.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. And Run DMC. But like, I put it on my, I have Spotify. So that's funny because on Spotify, there was a Public Enemy album that I just loved in high school. It was Music in Our Message.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That was a Public Enemy album I listened to. Everyone really loved that album. That's probably their, for my circle of friends, that's probably their most popular one. But it wasn't on Spotify when I first got Spotify. So I was like, oh, I don't know if this will be on Spotify. Oh, I was like, I might have to actually buy this. But no, it was on Spotify. And so I just threw it on when I kind of had a little bit of a drive one day. So I had no idea who was coming. Like, I didn't know Cypress Hill was in it. I didn't know Mike D was in it, Ad Rock. I didn't know Run DMC. So I was just listening to it, and I was like, oh, no. Are you kidding me on this, too? So it was a good
choice. Right on. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. You're not going to throw that one underneath the tree and reselect another one.
No. Yeah, it sounds like a thumbs up from Mike.
And actually, ironically, Public Enemy was one of the first hip-hop and music groups to really embrace the power of the internet. I remember when their first albums had a website on the, you know, in the album liners, and I was like, well, what is that? What is this HTTP dot and all? It was like one of those old-fashioned websites. I was like, huh. Must be something to do with the computer. So it's quite cool.
I think as long as we're here, any Public Enemy type group will have something to write and sing about.
Well, yeah. I was reading I want to say Ad Rock, not Ad Rock. Chuck D, like, he's gotta be late 50s, isn't he?
Early 60s, I think. Yeah.
Early 60s. Yeah. If you think about that.
He's timeless.
We're in it.
Jump in here. He's a timeless man.
Yeah. Like, he sounds exact same. He sounds exactly the same. But we're in a time and place now where, you know, 60-year-old men are putting together some rap album. That's crazy.
60's the new 30, I hear, Mike.
Yeah. Well, good. That means I'm still in the 20s.
Yeah.
I'm not positive I want to live in that world where 60-year-old men.
I'm not positive I want to be 60 in that world, actually. It's
just so weird.
They're teaching us what music is all about again. We're forgetting.
It's about time.
Mike, were you at U of M like 15 years ago when Chuck D came?
No.
No? Okay.
Oh, wow. I think
it was about 15 years ago he came. It was sweet. Had to skip.
I was in the city. I was in the city. I just, yeah. I don't remember hearing about it, no.
So, again, sorry to jump in. For context, where are you guys located at? Where did Chuck D go?
University of Manitoba.
Oh, boy.
Not attending, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Obviously not.
Yeah, he was in my chemistry class.
I think he was a res assistant over at Tash A. Res.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, it sounds like you've made an excellent pick there, Bernie, for Mike. So thumbs up. And I'm going to pat myself on the back as well, because I said the other night when I was doing when we were doing the other recording, that it was challenging trying to come up with who I should set up to give the albums to, kind of thing. So it was a bit of I do a little bit of maneuvering there. So Mike, his gift to Peter was the initial Burton Cummings solo album from 1976, I think. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Mid-70s.
And I had to listen to this the other day. I was on the elliptical and I punched it on and I was like, man, I know a lot of these songs. And I don't remember, my mom was a big Burton Cummings fan. I took my mom and dad to see Burton Cummings last fall down in Brandon.
Did I see you there?
Maybe. Yeah,
I
maybe.
We talked there.
Yeah, I think we did. You're right. Yeah, I think you're right. And there was two or three songs on this album that I knew, but I don't remember this album as a kid. So maybe my mom had a greatest hits album or something rather. So tell us, Mike, why did you pick this one for Peter?
I had been listening to it at the time, and I don't remember off the top of my head, but there was one album on Peter's list that I thought, oh, maybe this is something but I don't remember what that album is. Peter's list available somewhere? Quickly, yes, no.
Yeah, Peter had Violent Femmes. I've got it. I'm going from memory here. Peter, help us out here. We had Violent Femmes. We had Stompin' Tom.
I think we had the Pogues in there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Pogues. That's right.
Bon Jovi.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you're right.
I don't remember my fifth one.
That's funny that you don't remember your fifth, actually. I'll look it up.
I don't even remember my embarrassing one.
I forgot one of them was embarrassing. So maybe
Corey Hart.
Corey Hart.
Oh, yeah. Boy in the Box. Yeah.
It wasn't a Journey? Journey's Greatest Hits?
No.
No, no.
That wasn't it?
No.
The Beatles, Abbey Road.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, isn't Guess Who the band who finally knocked Beatles off the number one on the charts there?
Oh, you might be right.
Could be.
Yeah, I think there's a story where the Beatles dominated for I don't know how long. And then the first group that took them out was Guess Who.
Guess Who. Yeah, you might be right. Okay, so Peter, when I sent this on to you, you said, oh, sounds great. I already have it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Well, my mom's a huge Burton Cummings fan, and so am I. Just going way back. And I knew every song on it already, but I've been listening to it on repeat the last few days. And great pick for me. I love it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I really like listening. The guy just makes it sound easy. Like all the songs on the album, it sounds like they were already written and he's just sat down and played them.
Yeah.
From, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And there's also a few tunes in there that aren't my favorite, but it sounds like he laid down the piano track in one take and he didn't have it in his brain before he sat down. He just kind of tinkered it out. Just a few chorus endings and stuff like that. But I mean, it's full of hits too.
Well, I had heard, I think it was on Spotify. There's like there's like a special edition. And there's demos of I'm Scared. And I listened to that and I was and it's mostly there, but you can tell it's funny. Just that little extra refinement, that little extra something just makes it such a huge difference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that tune in particular, just that one jumps out as one, probably one of the best on there. Not a big fan of the slow version of You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, though.
That was weird.
Babe, come on, man.
Yeah, that was.
Is that a re-release? I thought that was just a re-release or something. I just kind of skipped over that.
No, they released that.
That was on that album?
Yeah.
Really?
Apparently, him and Randy Bachman were at a concert, and they just did that for shits and giggles, and then Burton went and put it on his album.
So where is this in? When is this album released in terms of BTO's first album?
No idea. This was released in 76.
76, yep.
Yeah.
So when's BTO's first album? I thought this would be before. Hang on, I'll look at it. I thought this would have been before BTO. For some reason, I thought it was just this would have been before.
Well, BTO started in 1971. Randy Bachman left fairly early, so.
Yeah, 72 was their first album.
Oh, I didn't know Bachman left early.
Yeah.
I didn't know Bachman left early. I thought they all just quit at the same time.
No.
They had a Best Dove album in 1976.
Yeah, 74 was the album with You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Oh, so there you go. Well, I think the number one single off this was Stand Tall, actually.
Yeah,
that was the biggest one.
Yeah. People, but say I think I'm Scared is the best song for sure on the album.
Yeah, I'd say first is I'm Scared, and then I like Your Backyard second.
Yeah,
yeah, that's good. That one too.
That one's just, it flies, like it really flies. There's a few on there that even with his vocals and his lyrics, I think that he's just making them up on the spot.
Well, I brought it up here, and it says that that one song is written by Jim Ford.
Which one?
Nikki Hokie.
Oh, yeah, that was the one. One of the ones that that kind of just got skipped over in my head.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a two or three giveaway or sort of throwaway out songs on that.
Well, I think this is still when they're just kind of focusing on A and B sides of singles, eh?
Yeah.
Could be, yeah.
So he's just like, I'll get my four songs for two singles, and then throw a couple of something else on there.
Yeah. It was actually nominated for the Juno Album of the Year, 1976. So it's
a good album. It's got four bangers for sure.
Yeah. He's got a great voice.
If in I'm Scared, there's a little bit of one of the Christmas carols, eh? He plays like he says the
Live in Heavenly Peace.
Yeah, live in, and yeah, it's from the song, and it's even the same note progression. Yeah,
yeah, it is. He wrote that, I don't know why I know this, but he wrote that in New York City when he was, I think it was around the time that he was at odds with the rest of the band. And anyway,
I was heartbroken. Actually, he didn't sing that at that Brandon concert. He didn't sing I'm Scared. I was like, I was like, okay, he didn't. Of course, the big encore. Here it comes. I'm Scared. Then, nope. I'm like, second encore. Here we go. Classic Burton Cumming. Nope. I was like, son of a.
He didn't?
No, I think it's out of his range now. Because he tried a couple of songs that were higher up there, and you could tell it was hard and he wasn't quite making it. So either he cut it before the show because he knew he couldn't do it, or during the show, he's like, I can't do that.
That'd be like if McCartney didn't sing Hey Jude at the end of his concert.
I thought he sang really well there, Brandon. I enjoyed that show, although I would have enjoyed it more if there had been a full band.
Yeah, I really liked that show too. But there was a couple of times where he went up higher in the register. You could hear it was hard for him.
Yeah. Well, the man like is 70-something.
Yeah, exactly.
He just didn't
even do what he did.
It was his birthday, I think, not long ago, like the last couple days.
Him and Clifton share a birthday.
Ah.
New Year's
I think
Eve.
He just turned 73 or 74.
He actually, at that concert, my wife slept in for the backstage.
Say that again, Mike.
At that concert, she really wanted to meet him. And so we went out back. I got in the car. And she said, drive by the bus and see if we can see him coming out, and we'll meet him on the bus. And I drove back there. And I was like, oh, Christ, we could be here for a while. I don't really want to go through with this. So then I saw these two Yahoo security guards just go up and open the door to the back without a key or anything. And they just walked right in. I was like, well, that door's not locked right there, Stace. Why don't you just go in there? walk in like you own the place. Nobody will question it. They'll just assume you know what the hell you're doing. Just walk in there and he'll be somewhere back there and just go shake his hand, get a picture, and no problem. So she's like, okay. So she walks over, opens up the door, walks in. I'm sitting outside for, I don't know, 5 minutes. Eventually she kind of comes back out, kind of jogging. And I guess she got in there. He was in one of the first rooms eating from the catering or whatever. And he's like, I don't think you're supposed to be here. And then she's like, oh, I just came to say hi. And he's like, okay. And just to shake your hand and get a picture. He's like, okay, you better hurry up because they're probably going to come and get you right away.
Nice.
So he posed this picture, big thumbs up and everything. And then she said these two big guys came. We're like, hey, what the hell? Who are you? What the hell? And then so she kind of exited stage right really quickly.
Cool.
It's a good thing.
Now all you got to do is walk down the street and moose draw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's got some beef with a dance studio there.
Oh, yeah. Something about that. He lives in Moose Jaw now.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law went to high school with him.
Oh.
And she went to a reunion a few years back and saw him. They were both kind of going into the school at the same time. And she says, hey, Burton, do you remember me? And he says, oh, yeah. Hi, Marilyn. So they got a picture together. Yeah, he remembered her. Yeah.
I got another funny Burton Cummings story. So I was working a wrestling show, and we had brought in some WWE legends, and one of them was Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, classic.
Wayne Ferris.
And so after the show, we go to this bar, and we didn't know at the time, but it was a bar that Burton frequented. It was in a Holiday Inn kind of by the perimeter. And so...
Oh, the lid.
Yeah, the lid, yeah. So Burton saunters in. I think he knew Honky Tonk Man was there, and I don't know. They were talking and chatting it up or anything. And then so Burton invites all the workers, like all the wrestlers and everything, back to his house. But I had promised my wife that I was going to go see her after the show, so I didn't go for some freaking reason. But all my friends and everyone went back to Burton's house. And him and Honky Tonk Man were playing songs on the piano and singing. And they're drinking quite a bit. I guess Burton had quite a few. And so one of my best friends, he was singing and whatever with the song, and then he spilt his drink all over Burton's laptop and broke it. But that was, I could have went and partied at Burton's house, but I chose to go hang out with my wife instead.
What, do they let like announcers or referees come out with the boys?
Not really.
Just joking there, like you were, you know, one of the little scrawny guys there. Yeah,
that's a pretty good story there, Mike. I like that. Okay, I've got an eye on the time here, so I'm gonna move on. Peter's gift to Carter was the John Lennon album from 1975, Rock and Roll, and it's all covers, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and why did you pick this one, Peter?
Refresh my memory of his picks again. I listened to all of them, and just the sound kind of reminded me of John Lennon's album.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was a good pick because I was very, very, very close to having Little Richard's debut album in my top five. Very close. And there's like three Little Richard songs on this album. So,
well, John Lennon said he wanted, when he did the album, he wanted to go back to his roots and record all of his favorite tunes. Evidently, his favorite song was Bebop-a-Lula. But I really liked it because John Lennon hated the sound of his own voice, apparently. So he really distorts it throughout this album. And he really throws kind of a wall of sound underneath everything in a lot of the tunes. And it reminded me of what you had picked, of what your picks were.
Hmm. Yeah, it's... the type of music's great. And it was good to sort of see, because the John solo stuff after he left the Beatles that I've listened to has been, you know, a little bit more experimental. But this was after him and Yoko split up, which I sort of didn't know happened.
And then they got back together, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was there when he
died.
Oh, I knew they had Julian and Sean together, but I didn't know there was a breakup at all.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, for him to sort of embrace the, you know, the music that he liked in the early 60s was kind of cool to see him go back and do. So yeah, no, I thought it was good. Were some things working against it, like Phil Spector, you said Wall of Sound. You know, not...
Wait, what's wrong with Phil Spector?
Did I just hear a glove drop?
The creator.
Yeah, maybe a little.
I didn't notice that.
He built the first wall.
I actually enjoyed this. I jumped on the elliptical too a couple of weeks ago and had a listen to this, and it was kind of cool to hear John Lennon's take on all these covers. I
like to Stand By Me in that album.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
Clifton always says he likes when we do covers with the band, he likes doing his version of it. And I would definitely say this is John Lennon's interpretation of these songs.
I can't say his versions are better than the originals. Like the Chuck Berry or Little Richard, it's pretty tough to emulate those two, right? So, but yeah, like you said, Stand By Me was good. Peggy Sue was good. But yeah, the Berry and Richard ones, those are tough.
Yeah.
But hey, they're good to see all in a collection, you know. I'd listen again. I don't know if I'd buy it, but I'd listen again. Absolutely. I was almost confused though, because on Spotify, there's a new album called Rock and Roll by John Lennon that just came out this year. Like, not even like an album, but you know, sometimes Spotify will have like an EP or something, a collection. It's only about 5 or 6 songs. So good thing I looked a little harder. Otherwise I might've listened to that, something completely different.
Yeah. When the song Do You Want to Dance came on, I was like, hold on, I know this. I only knew the Ramones version. I didn't really know that it was a cover.
Yeah, that's when you can skip on that album in my eyes.
But yeah, no, it was good. And you know, it wasn't too long. Like, you don't want to recommend like an hour and a half album that someone may not like. Right. But this one, you know, this one was easy to listen to. It was short and yeah, it was good.
I enjoyed it. Clifton, did you have a chance to listen? You've kind of been hanging out there in the back seat a little bit here, so.
Oh no, I'm enjoying myself. I like listening to the stories, and especially party stories. Of course, those are always fun. Actually, somebody else told us a party story about Burton Cummings too. That a couple of buddies of his went out to play slots, and again, it was at a lounge or bar in Winnipeg, and they ended up noticing Burton Cummings and chatted him up and. He ended up inviting them back to his place. And the one thing that the buddies told their buddy was that there was this table that was by the washroom. Like, they would ask where the washroom is. They'd go to the washroom, but there was this table there and it had these envelopes and these, he says that there was these checks. There was these uncashed royalty checks just out and just on this table. And that's just a rock star story, I think.
Maybe Burton had the, you know, photo banking early.
Yeah, there pictures. You go. Yeah.
Leaving them out for everyone to see.
He might have had, I guess, some insider technology back in the day. There. I don't know. I think this was a little while back ago. But going back to Burton Cummings, I guess he's got a new album out called Sweet Sweet that he released in 2020. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so if you guys want to check it out, there's a new Burton Cummings album out there.
One of my biggest regrets is when they opened the new arena here in Dauphin is that I didn't go see Burton Cummings in concert here. I can't believe I didn't do that. So
Ham, you're probably on the elliptical again listening to other albums.
No, that was totally...
I can't believe Burton Cummings went to Dauphin.
Yes. that was totally... Oh, yeah. My kids are like 6 and 3 years old, and I don't want to find a babysitter. Screw it, I'm not going to...
Hey, you know what? Just out of the blue, I Googled Burton Cummings' new album. He covers Bebopalula.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The 11th
full
track.
Circle. It's come first circle.
That's got to be weird. I don't know how I feel about that.
You want to hear it?
Kinda, yeah.
I wonder if it's a hidden track on the iTunes. It doesn't show the 11th track.
But if we play it, are Cam and Cliff going to get in trouble for?
Yeah. Well, I'll edit it out.
Don't worry, Cam. I took copyright law. Don't worry about it.
Oh yeah. You know, Mike, now that your wife knows Burton Cummings firsthand, you got to see if you can get her to reach out to him. Maybe we can get him on the podcast as a guest.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't your mother-in-law know him?
Yes. I told her that the other night. I said, Marilyn, my goal is to get Burton on the podcast. So I sent a message via Twitter the other night, but I haven't heard back. So
well, maybe he would if he's promoting a new album.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. From the stories I've heard, you just have to hang out around his concerts, yes, and he'll invite you back to
back
his place
to his
for
house.
Drinks.
Sounds like it, yeah. If I'd only gone to that concert. Okay, well, let's move on to we are going to Carter's Choice, or Carter's Gift to Matt, The War on Drugs from 2017. A Deeper Understanding is the name of the album, right?
Yeah, and I don't know, it feels like so far a lot of the gifted albums people are pretty passionate about. I'm not so passionate about this one, just listening. I don't know, I listened to it, I think I looked at my ranking, it was my fourth favorite album of 2017, so not the highest thing, but I don't know, I felt Matt was one of the toughest out of everyone there. To remind people, Matt had The Who, Tommy, Radiohead, Kid A, Neutral Milk Hotel, and The Aeroplane Over the Sea, Mellow Grove Band, which on Spotify, their biggest song has 24,000 views. So it was tough to come up for the songs. So I sort of went with most of my friends who like, there's a lot of crossover between Kid A and The War on Drugs. So I went with that one. Thought it might work out.
Okay. So Matt, what is your, what did you think of this? The War on Drugs?
Well, so here's the thing. I've been aware of The War on Drugs. Somebody I dated years ago, back when I was living in Hamilton, was really into them and got me into them. I can tell that they love what they do, or he loves what he does. It's just a dude. He loves what he does. And that's really neat, but it also kind of sounds like everything that was released between 2012 and like 2018, as far as independent music goes. It's good, but it's still like that, you know?
It won Best Rock Album at the Grammys that year.
Yeah, but that's it's
probably a strike it's against it.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't bring that up, maybe.
No.
Let's not talk about the Grammys. But no, it's like it's objectively good music. I will admit that. It's just it's kind of not for me, you know.
I feel the same way. Yeah.
Way to go, Carter. Nice gift.
Cool. Yeah, that's sorry. If that's the case. That's an excellent pick.
That's the coal in the stocking.
Well, there have to be one.
It's not bad. I listened to it 3 times. I didn't hate it.
Oh, okay.
At all. Well, because I listened to it because I wanted to have something to say about it. Turns out I was like pretty drunk all 3 times. So. I did 2 of those times. I was listening. I was reading along with the lyrics. And it's well written. It's a good album. It's just. It sounds like so many other things that are out there right now that people are still releasing. It's like everybody wants to be M83 and M83 wants to be every band from the 80s. And it's just,
oh man, I should have given you some, I love M83. I should have.
I saw them. They opened for the Killers one time.
Dude, oh, really? You should have gone with M83. M83 is great.
What's your favorite M83 album?
I don't even know. It all sounds the same to me, but it's just I'm not gonna lie to you.
I've never even heard of M83.
Let's
They're
do
French 80. Band.
Oh, really? So, they're French?
Yeah.
Are they French? Right?
Well, he's French. Yeah. Yeah. The main guy.
There's a video of Bill Clinton playing saxophone on the Arsenio Hall show.
Yes.
That's overdubbed with M83. And it's very excellent.
Saxophone is very hot in the last year or two.
Yeah, I hate the saxophone.
I saw that Bill Clinton episode live.
You guys really?
How old I am? Yeah.
History.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That is. Wow.
Regular Arsenio viewer.
That's no, Arsenio just, Hall, man. That's old.
You know how old I am? Remember the 60s, the new 30 here.
I don't know how old you are, but I've been curious about that about every single person that's in this Zoom meeting right now. I'm seeing a Habs jersey, which I don't know if you can see my video, but
is that Ottawa?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, we got two Sens jerseys on the wall, so I already hate that guy.
I think there's two Habs fans in this.
How many Habs jerseys have we seen here?
Well, Peter.
Two Habs jerseys, one Jets jersey.
Yeah. Oh, Jets are fine. No problem with Jets, but I'm assuming that every single one of you lives in Manitoba. So,
No, Bernie lives in Calgary, but he's a Dauphin boy.
Well, all right. It's still a lot later for me than it is for you guys.
Yes. Thank you for staying up, by the way, Matt.
Hey, man, yeah. Dude, it's the last Saturday of my vacation, so I'm up.
Right.
For a while. But yeah, no, The War on Drugs, it's an objectively good album. I just kind of don't like it, you know?
Well, I was thinking the other day with having Spotify and stuff, like you have to instantly, if you're a new band or something, you have to compete. It's just as easy to get a Led Zeppelin song as it is to get a new song on Spotify. It's just as easy to get, you know, Burton Cummings as it is to get anything else. And so I was thinking the other day, like if you're a new band, for someone to listen to on Spotify, like what, how, like they'd have to pick you over, like, you know, say if there's only pop music since from the 50s on there, that's 70 years of music. I was thinking, like, is that why I don't hear any new rock that I really like? Like, is it just rock's been perfected? I don't know.
Well,
it's hard to find.
It certainly hasn't, but like, do you use Spotify Discover? Because that is...
Yeah, but then it just leads me down a hole to, like, older stuff even. But no, I do. I don't use Discover. I go to, at the bottom of the artist, it'll say, like, if you like this guy, try these guys. And I'll look at those guys, and I'll listen to the songs. Because half the time, you don't recognize the name. But as soon as you start playing, you're like, oh, my God, this song. I forgot about this song. And then you'll look at similar bands to that band. And then you're down this huge rabbit hole. Yeah, that's the thing about Spotify.
100%. Well, not 100%. Some of the time, Spotify just turns me on to new albums that my favorite artists have released that I don't know about because I don't follow any sort of social media whatsoever. So Spotify is good for two things, really.
They're very powerful, Spotify. I was reading this story about Pavement, who, you know, decently big enough band there. The singer was... Pavement. Yeah, so the singer was in a bakery and he heard a song and come on like the speakers and it's this jangly guitar intro. He's like, oh, I'm feeling this. And then he hears, oh my God, that's my voice. This is my song. And he's like, I don't know what song this is. Why is it playing in this bakery? And it turned out that song is now the number one Pavement song on Spotify, like the most listened to song by a significant margin, like 10 million more than number two, I believe.
Wow.
And, what's the reason Pavement fans aren't a fan of that song in particular? it's not on a big hot playlist. Like, why is this happening? And so it was this really big deep dive article, and they went in with like Spotify engineers to try to determine why. And it was just part of the algorithm that if you were like listening to, say, like a Foo Fighters song and it ended and it needed something to call up that was decently similar, then it brought up this Pavement song. For it's like insane, because like if you were just getting into Pavement, oh, let's listen to what their most popular song is. And it's like, actually, that's not representative of.
Yeah.
It, like, they didn't release this as a video. The singer didn't even recognize it. So yeah, Spotify is powerful. and maybe really not great. For a good thing too.
I like, so in my real life, I working, I'm a programmer. So
okay.
I do computer science, and just the idea that that algorithm is so powerful is just a little bit turning me on. Kind of. Just a little bit. That's it though.
Spotify is our new.
You'll see the webcam like shift up if it really starts getting me.
Yeah. Spotify is our new what's the deep track that we need to listen to off of this album, buddy?
Yeah.
They're pulling out these songs that are similar, and people might not even know, like the guy that wrote it is like, what the heck, this is me, did I write that? Spotify knows.
Terrifying, to be honest, that happened. It's just so scary.
And you know, even the interface, like I have I pay for Apple Music on my phone, and I share it with my kids and my wife and my daughter's boyfriend, but when I've got a brand new TV upstairs that I love, and there's a Spotify app on there, and I'd much rather turn on the Spotify app, even with the ads, than the Apple Music. There's something about it. There's just something about the interface that just I like, and it's like crack, isn't it?
Well, is Spotify like? Is that like all they do? Like Apple is a huge conglomerate. That's not. Right. It's not necessarily a music company, right? It's just like a tech company. Whereas I'm guessing Spotify was just invented by music lovers.
Yeah, and they're diversifying to get into the podcasts as well.
And like, they're making excellent choices in that area as well. Like one of my absolute favorite podcasts of all time just kind of sort of recently went to Spotify. But good job, Spotify.
Which one's that?
It's called Last Podcast on the Left.
Oh, yeah. No, my wife likes that. I was like, don't be Joe Rogan. Bill Simmons or something.
You married a wonderful woman.
Yeah, so. she's except that she bought the book, which is like $50 or $60.
Dude, I bought the book.
There's a podcast book.
Oh, yeah, you mean your podcast doesn't have a book?
Serial killer.
That's your
I also
job.
Have
get
like
on
four
that.
Other shirts. So whatever.
We better get the book, Cam.
Oh man. Guys, I got a problem. And also, yeah, you guys should make a book.
We'll have to get on that. I gotta
get on Ed Stosic's publishing label.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I thought we were just trying to get a sticker going. I don't know.
Yeah, we were just trying to get like a couple of beers at a farmery. Moving on, we had Matt present with Bill, and we have a hard time saying this, so we're gonna try again. It's Waxahachie. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay. So
nicely done.
Why did you pick Waxahachie? And it's by Ivy Tripp.
Ivy Tripp is the name of the album. Waxahachie.
Oh, right. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
I'm pretty unfamiliar with this.
Yeah. Why did I pick it? Honestly, Bill's albums were pretty diverse.
Yes.
And I don't know. It kind of seemed like I thought he would just dig it, you know?
Is this a band that you sort of followed for a while?
Casually, yeah.
Yep.
It's, I've been listening to her for a long time, like off and on. I don't know. I just think it's like, it's emotional music, but it's also like accessible, I think.
I have to admit, it's been a while since I listened to it because we're recording here now quite several weeks after we sort of started this little thing here. So,
yep.
Bill, what'd you think?
Well, I gave it a fresh listen today, Cam.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I did. I do. I really quite enjoyed it. I don't think they're necessarily derivative of much, but of course, music often reminds you of other things.
Yeah.
So a little bit of the Breeders in there. It almost sounded a little like the opening track has a sort of almost like a Gomez feel. You know, sort of a, I guess they were like a stoner band from the early 2000s from Nottingham. Okay. Some of the slower sort of drony songs kind of reminded me a little like, you know, like Mark Kozelek sort of stuff. So there's a lot in there. I quite enjoyed it. I kind of preferred the upbeat numbers. Okay. But yeah, it was really good.
I had Cranberries, but I'm not nearly as well educated as you are.
I think that's in there too, Cam.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Clifton, did you get a chance to listen to this one? I don't know. It's been a long time since we started this. So, remember?
I'm trying to remember. I can't remember.
We're having a hard enough time just saying Waxahachie.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I got around to this one, to tell you the truth.
I think I did, but I only got the one listen. We had lots of albums to listen to. So, mm-hmm. Will you go back in their back catalog, Bill?
You know, I just might, because again, I'm always trying to listen to find new stuff that I haven't heard, you know, instead of just going back to all the old stuff I always fucking listen to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're definitely that sort of listener that you.
Now, with that being said, I also listen to a lot of stuff that I've listened to a million times. So,
right.
But consciously making an effort to try to listen to stuff that I haven't heard before that's new to me. So yeah, this is great.
This exercise has definitely broadened my, because I was a listen to the same stuff all the time kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Anything else you want to throw in about that one, Bill?
Perhaps the name, they're not doing themselves any favors, but I really enjoyed it. Because the first song is kind of slow and you're like, oh shit, what's this going to be like? And then it sort of picks right up and you're like, oh yeah, I can get into this. It was good. It was really good.
Okay.
Yeah. I definitely recommend checking out the rest of her stuff.
Yeah.
Very, very, very talented woman.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Great music.
How many albums are there, Matt?
I see five, if that's correct.
Yeah. I want to say five.
Is this the latest? It was 2015.
No, she just came out with a new one. I think very, very recently, actually.
St. Cloud is the new one in 2020.
Yeah.
And the one we're talking about is Out in the Storm.
Sorry?
The one we're talking about is Out in the Storm. Is that correct?
Ivy Trip.
Ivy Trip. Okay, so there's two after Ivy Trip.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Okay, so Bill, you going from a very diverse lineup, and no offense to Bernie whatsoever intended. If I wanted to offend Bernie, I certainly could. Bernie's is, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think it's diverse, but I'm not well versed in this genre. So, but you selected Broken Social Scene for Bernie, Bill.
I did. Yeah, I did that.
And I did that. You sound like the little kid in the principal's office.
Yeah. Yes,
go write 100 lines. And why did you select? Now that's the band, right? Which album did you pick? My notes are lost here.
I picked their self-titled album, which I think is technically like their third album, second or third album.
Okay. Yeah. That's why I was confused. So why this one?
I think I'd been listening to it a lot. Right around then, and I sort of revisited it and realized, like, this is a really good album. You know, like, there's a lot of bangers. There's a few, again, you know, they take a lot of artistic license with some of them. They're probably a bit indulgent in some of the songs, but I just really, really love the band. It's one of my favorite bands, period. Okay. And yeah, it's one of my favorite albums.
Okay. Now, Clifton, I this was one I don't think I got to. So I'm hoping you got to this one.
No, I'm looking at it. And I didn't get to this one either. How many were there? There was lots.
There was way too many. I'm not sure we're doing this again next Christmas.
Yeah.
If I could just jump in here, sure. They actually did a concert, like a live stream concert on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I was able to catch that. It was great. And that is actually one of my favorite albums as well. So
cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bernie, give us the thumbs up, thumbs sideways, or thumbs down.
All right. Well, before I was wondering if Bill did any research on the five albums that I selected. Because, you know, like usually when you do those Secret Santa things, you know, you go around, you're like, hey, what is so-and-so like? You know, like, what is he into? And if you don't know anything, you're like, we'll get him that box of chocolates then.
So was this a box of chocolates?
You know what? I really tried. I researched it. Like talented musicians, the whole collaborative concept, that's really cool and everything, but it's not for me.
It's not for you.
No. And I tried a couple times to listen to it. I'm like, yeah, okay, it sounds like, you know, like of Monsters and Men. That's sort of the vibe I was getting from it. And a lot of talented Canadian musicians, but nah, just not for me.
Lots of musicians, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the list on Wikipedia here, like I have to scroll down to get the whole list. Like there's got to be 20 names here.
Yeah, I think everybody's been in the band.
Yeah.
Like members of Metric, Bahamas has been in the band. Feist was in the band.
Stars,
yeah, like everybody.
And who was all on stage on New Year's Eve, Matt?
Most of them, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was it a giant stage? Were they keeping their distance?
Actually, yeah. They recorded it at some club in Toronto, I believe. It was just, it was empty, like, except for the band and, like, the people recording it. But,
right.
Yeah, it was a big stage. It was a really cool show.
Cool.
So I got a question about the band, though, is, like, who's the leader? Who's in charge? Like, who makes the decisions? How does that work?
Kevin Drew. He's the guy. He's like one of the main singers, one of the guitarists. He runs their label and everything like that. I would say he's the guy in charge.
Yeah, okay. I would agree.
And is he from another band originally, kind of thing? Or this is his?
No, all the other bands kind of spawned out of Broken Social Scene.
Oh, I see.
Like Stars, Metric, Feist, Apostle of Hustle is another one. They all were born out of that band.
Okay. I see here and Clifton's maybe going to jump in with this, but the 2006 Junos, this album won Alternative Album of the Year. Is that right, Bill? Do you recall that?
I don't recall that, but it's no surprise.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a fabulous album.
I should have added this when we had the long list here. I guess I must have gotten into the next episode or what have you, and I'll try to, maybe I'll have a listen and I'll try to convince Bernie.
There's no need to convince him, man. You know, it's one of those things. Either you like it. It's like chocolate covered black licorice. Some people like it. Some people can't stand it.
That's a thing.
It's a thing. It's actually really nice. I know.
That's disgusting.
I hear you.
I'm trying to figure out what that would taste like.
Garbage. It tastes like garbage.
Okay. Well, that's great. And this has been a lot of fun listening to you guys talk and talk about down the rabbit hole here. Like no script at all. Totally like, let's just wing it. Clifton and I appreciate you guys giving up some time on us the last Saturday night here for many of us. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are teachers or going back to work in some sort of way here. So we do appreciate you giving up some time here to talk music. And like I said, it's like a Spotify kind of shuffle kind of here talking, listen to you guys. Yeah. I'm not really sure we talked about the albums. We kind of got down a rabbit hole a little bit. So,
yeah.
Now, where did Burton Cummings party last?
Yeah. Where didn't he party last?
At a dance boutique.
You know what? If I get a week off, I'm going straight to where is he? Moose Jaw, you said, Peter?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Moose Jaw, just hang out, look for him.
Jaw, what's wrong with you?
I'm going to say, okay, thanks, fellas.